Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Our good friends from the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust in this morning, and the amazing thing is, and they, the three we have here this morning haven't been in now in a year and a half or so. Everyone went to their places. Chris Makowski is here. Chris is always in the same place in the corner. Tom Van Winkle always in the middle, and Terry Renzel has always been over on the side. So you guys went to your spots just like a well-trained animal.
Of everything, so it's just normal for me.
And I'm very teachable, Ted.
I get sent to the corner a lot, so
it all works out. It is so good to have you guys here. This is another example of moving on from the pandemic, and Terry with this radio background instinctively comes in and closes the door. So I just left it closed. This is the first time since March of 2020 that we've done a show with the door closed. So listeners who've become accustomed to sometimes hearing a dog in the background won't get that today.
We can get Terry to bark, though, if people are missing that sound.
We could. That would be good. That's good. Good to have you guys here. Boy, talk about different times. Terry, for you, what's it been like as executive director of the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust? Yes, last year and a half has been a challenge, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely, Ted. I mean, luckily, I've got a great board. I've got a great boss in Tom Van Winkle, extremely supportive when we, like everyone else, had to pull the plug on everything a year and a half ago. There wasn't a lot of angst about it. It was like, okay, you know, do you have a plan? Yes, had a plan already to go, just implemented it. Sarah Kate Barley, my partner in crime at the office, her and I both headed for our separate corners, separate homes, and worked. I started coming back into the office a couple days a week in July of last year and returned to the office in mid-August of last year. Sarah continued working at home and came back to the office in June after, you know, both of us and the entire board of directors had been vaccinated. We did all the board meetings and any other meetings we needed to have via Zoom all that time. So it was different. We were able to keep things rolling. We were able to experiment with a few different things on social media to tell our story and get the word out. So it was different. We adapted, but we were able to keep forward momentum going on stuff and lay the groundwork for the now times and coming out the other end and moving forward with projects and with our conference.
We're going to talk about the conference because that's going to come up in October, and exciting times with that. We will get to that. But boy, Tom, for you to try in as president of the board and shepherding through all of this time, what you do doesn't change, but I guess how you did it had to change a little bit.
That's exactly right. How we did it changed, but we had absolutely no reduction in output. We probably, I would say, we had an increase in creativity because we had to. You know, necessity is the mother of all invention. As Terry said, did a couple of social media things for the time, but we've decided to keep a couple because it became so popular. Our At Ease email program that it just became so popular, it's now a permanent thing. So a lot of good things came out of it, and we had no functionality situations whatsoever. And I told these guys, when you're comfortable, come back. Other than that, keep carrying on.
Well, and Chris, we have seen definitely whether it's historical sites, museums, people still have been flocking to places they can. There still is the interest, and in what you do ultimately, what the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust does, acquiring these kind of places, you're needed now more than ever.
Absolutely, and you know, when the pandemic started, people were looking to get outside and do stuff. People were feeling cooped up. And I saw more people on the area battlefields than I've seen in years. Just, you know, and people I'd not seen out there before, and, you know, taking advantage of the trails and exploring. And so there was a great opportunity. Because the park's visitor centers had to be closed for various reasons, you know, it really forced people to be outside and, you know, on the ground. And that was great for us because so much of what we do means like, oh, geez, Terry, we need to go and inspect this property. Or, oh, we need to go take a walk over here and check that out. So
yeah.
There was a lot of opportunity for us to just be out on our properties, out on the park's properties as we're, you know, kind of figuring out what to preserve and how to preserve it and what to do and how it all fits together and how to tell the stories. And so, you know, as Frank O'Reilly, the great park historian here, once told me, any day in the field is better than a day in the office. And yeah. Since we couldn't be in the office, it was a great day to be in the field. You know?
Well, and that's the great. That's one of the great things about Terry. Your Facebook page right now. I enjoy it just because every couple of days you've got some new. You've got some new photographs from area battlefields.
Oh, absolutely, Ted. Yeah, every time Sarah and I are out, you know, our phones are cameras.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my phone's a better camera than the very expensive camera rig that I, you know, own. And so we're just grabbing random pictures. She's finding stuff that's in the public domain or Library of Congress or National Archives and putting it up there and, you know, telling the story of the history that happened on these battlefields.
For people that aren't aware, just update people on what the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust does, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk about the conference. But for those who aren't aware, talk a little bit about what you guys all do.
What we do is we are preserving the land that the battles of Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville, the Wilderness, and Spotsylvania Courthouse took place on. Things that are outside the authorized boundary of the national park. We are preserving them so that we can eventually open them up to the public so you can walk the ground where the history happened and get a better understanding of what happened on these four battlefields, what happened in this community between 1861 and 1865.
CVBT.org is the website. It must have been the spring of 2019. You and I walked Myers Hill.
Yep.
And then we had all these great plans. We're going to do this and this and this and this, and then this happened.
Sure, as we're all sort of trying to adapt, you know, and here I'm bragging about all the chance we have to be out in the field, but because everyone's having to do business differently, it was a little hard for us to get together. But
yeah.
Every time Ted and I talk, we keep vowing we're going to get out there together.
We're going to do it again.
We're going to do it again. I had such a good time when we were up at Myers Hill, so we've got to do it again.
Yeah, no, we will definitely do that. Tom Van Winkle is here. Chris Makowski's here. Terry Renzel's here. Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, our focus this morning. Terry Renzel's here along with Tom Van Winkle and Chris Makowski. We talked about it a little bit earlier. The annual conference will take place in October 8th through the 10th. And Tom, this is usually in the spring, isn't it? In a normal world.
In a normal world, it would be usually in April, but we had to change that. And we had thought about making it a virtual conference, but this is our 25th anniversary.
You can't make that virtual.
So that can't be virtual.
No.
So we decided, well, the way things were trending, we figured October outdoors would work.
Yeah.
So that's what we decided to do. So, 8th, 9th, and 10th on one of our battlefields, in the Chancellorsville Battlefield, we're going to have our 25th anniversary celebration, and we're going to take a look back out of all our successes. We're going to have special guests show up just to say a few words. We're going to have some historians, people like Chris over here, but we're going to have people, and I'll drop a few names. We'll have Gordon Ray, Greg Mertz, John Hennessy. We'll have several people just show up and say a few words that have helped us through the years. And we're going to go back to our roots where we used to have, instead of being in a hotel, we're going to go outside and having our our barbecue dinner, our pulled pork barbecue dinner, where we have our own civil war between the Carolina style and the Virginia type style. And it seems we have to have both of those. There's always a debate over which is better. So that'll be our biggest conflict of the evening.
I have always thought that every year when you have your conference, because you do make it so you get out in, you go to a battlefield, you go somewhere, that really makes this a must kind of see. And just really we're fortunate to have this kind of thing that you offer every year in the area.
Yeah. I mean, Friday night we're going to have what we call a president's reception. It's a complimentary reception at our office for hors d'oeuvres and some drinks and everything. And Saturday we're going to have two tours. We're going to have one of Sunken Road and Myers Hill.
Willis Hill.
Willis Hill. Sorry, one of the hills. Willis Hill. And that was
AP Hill, DH Hill, one of the hills.
Know your hills.
You need to know our hills, yeah. But that was CVBT's first save. And okay. Assist on that one. And then we're going to do Salem Church Battlefield, which we kind of consider as the poster child of what not to do in the preservation world, but also the Second Battle of Fredericksburg part of that. So and everybody's going to go out in their own cars, so everybody feels comfortable. So again, we're going to have two battlefield tours. A great dinner and meeting, and a lot of surprises are going to happen. And there will be some announcements, I can guarantee you that, at that meeting of some properties. So, it's a good time. Everybody should show up. Everybody should come.
Now, when you say surprises, I keep trying to talk Tom into jumping out of a cake. But so far, he's not going for that level of surprise. But that would be great.
That would be great.
6'4", 280, the cake's too expensive to frown this.
But when you talk about Salem Church and you know being the poster child, Chris, to me Salem Church is such an interesting place, but it's so hard to stand there and try to get I can look at all the pictures you can give me of Salem Church back during the Civil War in the 1860s. I have a hard time figuring it out.
It's really hard to match up the modern landscape with what actually happened there. And, so there's just a couple small acres right around the historic church itself. So it's like a little postage stamp in the midst of all this development. And as a result, because we've lost the landscape, people tend to forget stuff even happened there. And it's really a crucial moment in the Chancellorsville campaign where, we've got federal forces that are coming to the rescue of Joe Hooker's trapped army at Chancellorsville itself. And Robert E. Lee sends out Confederate forces to counter that. And so it's a vitally important part of that campaign that, things are still up in the air. That's the make or break moment for Robert E. Lee. And it's gone now because of all the development that has swept that away. It's even hard to tell that it's on a high ridgeline, which is why the Confederates chose that position, because it's a great dominating defensive position. You can't really see where the Confederates used the topography to hide their presence. You can't see the difficulty that the Federals have as they were making their advance. Part of the ridge has literally been scooped up and hauled away to make room for a big church and a big plaza over there. So literally the geography has been carved off the face of the earth and hauled away. And that's just a tragedy for someone trying to understand the history there.
When I first moved here in the early 80s, I remember the gas station that was there and how that was looked upon as this is awful. And that whole area has changed so much from the days of that gas station being there.
And it was such a close thing because the Park Service had the chance to preserve that battlefield. And because of rules, the federal government can only purchase land at its assessed value, not at market value. Okay. And so there was just a gap, $50,000 where,
wow.
and that's money that the government just couldn't fork over. And there were no private preservation organizations in existence at the time to fill that gap. And that's one reason why CVBT was formed, why what is now the American Battlefield Trust was formed, was to then marshal the forces necessary to bridge those sorts of gaps and be able to make those sorts of preservation saves.
Wow, you think about what could be, what that area could be if that had been able to be purchased.
Yeah, it literally would rewrite history on the landscape.
Yeah.
And would be able to kind of see that story and understand it so much better. So if there is any silver lining to the story, to the loss of the Salem church battlefield. It's that it did spark the modern preservation movement. That and some stuff that happened up around Chantilly after First Manassas. Those became seminal events in helping people realize, like, if you want to save this historic property in your community, you have to step up and do it. And fortunately, CVBT stepped up to do it.
I was just going to say that. You've stepped up, and you just take a look at what you've been able to save over the years, and you've been able to prevent some of the Salem churches from happening.
Yes, it's a fantastic story. Places like the Slaughter Pen Farm, places like First Aid Chancellorsville, what we've done the last couple of years out at Myers Hill, large pieces of land that, if they hadn't been saved, what could be built there? Houses, stores, plazas, a quickie mart on every corner.
Yeah. And it's tough because in this area we have unique resources that don't exist anywhere else in the mm-hmm. world, And so do we need one more strip mall that you can find virtually every place yeah. else? Do we need more of those, or should we really be trying to be good stewards of the unique resources that we have that bring people to this area to see those specific things? And so, preserving those things, helping people access those things and understand those things, I think is vitally important.
Go ahead.
As the further that along a little bit too, it's not just the history with the progression of all this, all the building strip malls, housing developments. It's now become part of green spaces too. I mean, even if you're not really that interested in history, you got to be interested in some breathable green spaces. Mm-hmm. So it's if the history doesn't really tickle you, the fact that you can get out and walk around in a nice big couple hundred acre green field instead of negotiating a couple of marts and big box stores, yeah, that ought to appeal to you also.
I remember, because I did not know the context of Slaughter Pen Farm, and you mentioned Frank O'Reilly, and I remember during the saving of Slaughter Pen Farm, Frank telling me numerous times, this is one of the bigger stories ever, and for preservation, and it's so important to keep this, and you learn that it was.
Yeah, and the preservation of the Fredericksburg battlefield is a pretty interesting story in the first place, because the Confederate position gets preserved early on and the federal position does not, and a bunch of factors for that. But it's a humiliating loss for the federal army, so the United States government's not all that interested in remembering it, whereas for the Confederate army, everyone is really interested in preserving the ground where the Confederates were for this amazing victory. And so, those sort of attitudes being here in Fredericksburg save the home team turf. Well, as a result of that, huge portions of the battlefield get lost and forgotten about. And Frank's research in particular showed just how important the southern end of the Fredericksburg battlefield was, because most of the attention was focused on the sunken road and the stone wall, because that's the dramatic story. But as Frank's research demonstrated, everything that happened on the south end of the field was just as, if not more, important. And that's where the Federals came closest to winning the battle. The mighty Stonewall Jackson had his line broken. I mean, so some really important stuff there that was almost lost.
Yeah.
And so by saving the ground, now we can start to remember what that story is all about and how important it really is.
Well, Myers Hill, when we went there, that's a great story. You talk about topography and you talk about everything, and it's just kind of tucked away there in Spotsylvania. And some of the things that you did, it's not always even the big things. You look at something like Pelham's Corner. I never knew that story. Had never even in a few years ago. I don't know if there was a marker dedicated. I remember there was a program there, and that's where I found Pelham's Corner.
Yeah, we dedicated a cannon. We have a cannon in that corner, which is reminiscent of Pelham and what he did there. So yeah, that was an interesting save, because we had initially purchased two pieces of land that had really nothing to do with what we wanted, but we knew that corner was going to come up soon. So when those stores there wanted to build, they needed those two pieces of land, so we did a swap. So
yeah,
they were thinking far ahead, so that worked out very well.
And there again, a tiny piece of ground that had huge, huge implications on the story of the Battle of Fredericksburg. I mean, you've literally got a single cannon that shows up down there, opens fire on the Federal Army, and tens of thousands of men are diverted from the attack to take care of this one cannon, which they can't find in the fog. And
yeah.
So it messes up the entire Federal plan for the attack there. So huge, huge implications. So to go and stand on that ground and understand that story and it's like, that's just crazy.
Terry, this is exciting stuff that you're able to really continue and really teach us all about history just by being able to save this.
And being able to walk the land.
Yeah.
Now, since we're talking about Slaughter Pen Farm right now, if you drive past there, you see a big old flat field. But it's not.
Right.
Once you get out in the middle of that field, you see that, it's flat and there's some rises and there's some dips and
you can't see the road. You can't see.
No, you get two thirds of the way out there and I can't hear the road traffic anymore.
No.
So there's a little bit of an acoustic shadow there. And then you get out there and you find out that, there were 5 Medals of Honor won on that piece of ground on that day. And you stand out there. And you look across that field, and I'm just in awe of the fact that, tens of thousands of men charged across this huge open field.
Yeah.
Knowing that their enemy had the high ground on the far end of it, and I just don't understand how they did it.
Yeah.
And I sometimes wonder, also the why. But it's not till you're able to get out there and be in the middle of that field or at McClaw's Wedge or at, First Aid Chancellorsville or Grant's Knoll and be on the ground and see what they saw and walk the places they walked. And it helps give me a better understanding of what happened there and what it took for the men to do those things.
No, it's great to be able to walk it, to see it, to touch it. It's all terrific. And we're going to talk when we take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk again about the annual conference, how you can attend that, how you can become involved in the work of Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Terry Renzel is here, Chris Makowski, Tom Van Winkle. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk. Done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, our focus this morning with Tom Van Winkle, Terry Renzel, and Chris Makowski. Chris has written a number of books. You working on a new book? I mean, I don't know that I've ever known you when you're not working on a book.
I actually just finished one on the Civil War Battle of Jackson, Mississippi, of all things.
He wrote it during your commercial break, Ted.
<That's right. laughs> May 14th, 1863, as part of Grant's campaign in Mississippi to capture Vicksburg. And I got started on it because my oldest son's name is Jackson.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much my excuse to write about Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay. Anything new you're thinking of? Or
I think I'm going to go back and revisit some work I've done on Stonewall Jackson and more of a personal piece, how my daughter kind of got interested in Stonewall, which got me interested in Stonewall, which then got us interested in the Civil War, which got us interested in this park, which led to my Civil War career. So in many ways, I could thank Stonewall Jackson for me sitting in this chair today.
Yeah, that's how I met you. Yeah. Well, I remember meeting you at an event, and the other interesting thing. I mean, you're a professor at St. Bonaventure.
Correct. So I actually work by day at a university in Western New York, just south of Buffalo. I'd fortunately been doing online instruction prior to COVID. So when COVID came and everybody started going online, I was like, yeah, it's another Tuesday for me. So fortunately, it was pretty smooth transition for me.
I've never been. I'm sure I have it somewhere, and I do look for it because I'm sure I've got somewhere the interview that we did, because we talked about that you came. You and your daughter came down on weekends.
Yeah.
It would volunteer at the then called the Stonewall Jackson Shrine out in Caroline.
Right, right. And, you know, that place continues to be, you know, a really special place. I was just down there the other day. And, you know, the park here has been absolutely wonderful to me, to my daughter, to my family on personal levels and then on professional levels. So, you know, I can't thank guys like John Hennessy, Frank O'Reilly, Greg Mertz. I can't thank those guys enough for all they've done.
Well, it's good, and you've gotten involved with the Central Virginia Battlefield Trust, and it's nice to have you plugged in there, too.
It's a privilege, really, because, you know, the ground that we get to walk to tell these stories is so central to the stories themselves. And if we have that ground, it gives us a tangible connection to these stories, to our history, to a better understanding of ourselves. You can't get that by looking at a map. You can't get that by reading a book. Mm-hmm. By being out on the ground, you can be connected to these stories in such a tangible, important way.
But you can almost get it by reading one of your books. We should say that.
Well, thanks.
We should say that. Well, that's a good lean-in, Terry, just to talk about there are ways and there are ways that people can get involved in helping you and helping save land around here.
Absolutely, Ted. Now, first and foremost, you know, people can go to our website, cvbt.org, find out, you know, a lot about us, a lot about the lands we've saved in the past, the work that we're doing now. They can find out more specifics on our upcoming conference. And on the website, they can make a donation to us. They can also register for the conference at the website. And as we, you know, have some land save projects in the future, in the very near future, there'll be information about those on the website when they come along also. So, you know, that's the first place to go and, you know, look into us. And secondly, you can give Sarah and I a call at our office and we'll be more than happy to talk to you about what we're doing and why it's important and how you can be involved.
Now, it's always exciting to talk to you. You never give me any kind of, and I don't even get any off the record kind of information on what you're doing. But Tom, you're always hinting to me, and you did today, that there will be announcements.
There will be announcements. I'll just want to real quickly go one step further with what Terry said. In the next couple of months, you're going to see a more aggressive membership campaign from us. The other day somebody asked me, well, first of all, they were surprised to know that we were 25 years old and what we did, and asked us where we were based. And I said, well, right here in Fredericksburg. We've always been in Fredericksburg. We're this region's premier historical preservation group when it comes to Civil War battlefields. You know, the region should be proud that we have somebody here that represents us. So we're going to have a little bit more aggressive campaign, because the way I look at it is, if you live in this region, Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania, that, you know, Orange County region, all that, you should be part of the group.
Yeah.
You should be proud to be a part of the group, and you need to be part of the group. So there's my membership pitch. But as far as announcements go, I can say right now, and I know people are always like, well, you say this all the time, but you don't give me a specific. We have a large property in the wilderness under mid-negotiations. We're pretty close to finishing that. A good chunk, again, of Myers Hill that's up that we're working on. We have a property in Chancellorsville we're just hopefully ready to put a signature on. And we're still working in Fredericksburg. Actually, we've been trying to work with the county on what's called Franklin's Crossing. It's the third and the last lower crossing of the river. And we've been working on that for about 2.5 years, and we're still working on it, trying to come to a conclusion with the county. It's not saved, and we need to save that. It's the only crossing that it hasn't been protected yet. So we're working with the county on that. But we always have something cooking. Everybody says, well, I haven't heard anything from you in a while. Well, there's a reason for that.
It takes a while on some
of
these.
You know, we're like a duck. And on the surface, we're floating along. But on the bottom, we're paddling our butts off. And these things have it's been a long time since we've been able to walk up to 10 acres of pristine, flat battlefield and say, here's a check. everything has a house on it, yeah. outbuildings on it, more than one person involved in the decision to sell it, something that requires sometimes a year or more of negotiating on. And because we're in a finite area and we don't have that many things coming up like in a national organization would, it doesn't look as frequent as they do. So when we get three or four projects and they're strung out over a year, you're going to hear some silence for a while until we can do it. But I'm thinking by October we're going to be able to announce several things in to the conclusion. So and a couple of things very surprising and worth the wait.
Well, and it's to be able to do those kind of things and to have the money, that's where the community getting involved. And like you say, you're right. If you're interested in this community, this is an organization you want to be involved with.
Exactly right. Like I said, we've always been a grassroots organization, born and bred here in Fredericksburg.
Or carpet bagging from the Western New York, like I am. But
yeah, right. Central Jersey, like I am. But you know, Chris and I are paying our dues.
But I think that's important to mention too. Like I mean, these resources are so important that they attract people to this area.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these are national treasures that get national attention.
I have done and helped out with tours from military groups from England. The military from Quantico still. Times will march down here and do different things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not from just the military standpoint, but as Chris said, I mean, people from all over. You know, when you live here, like I live on the wilderness battlefield, sometimes I forget that group of people over there may have saved up to come out here from, say, California or some other, you know, from England or somewhere, just to be here. You know, so it's you got to understand it's an attraction, and it's a very important thing to cultivate and to be good stewards of.
And we take it so for granted. You're right. People come. People save up. People. I've seen it with a lot of some of these, especially the years when the Park Service was doing the anniversary programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People saved up for years to be able to come to certain areas to be able to walk where in some cases their relatives were.
Right, and to be able to put people in touch with that ground where their great great grandfather fought or in some cases died. I had a person come out to Spotsylvania, and I took him to the section of earthworks where his great 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 uncle had died, and he started crying.
Yeah.
You know, because he knew that story and finally got to be at that ground. And you know, we talk about these battlefields being hallowed ground, and that was a great reminder, and that it still resonates with us today.
I had one of the same experiences in the wilderness. I put somebody within a couple hundred yards where their ancestor had passed in the Vermont Brigade in the fires in the wilderness. And to see the emotion from that person was you know, very interesting.
Yeah. No, I met a bus driver from northern Michigan who she wanted her husband to come, but they couldn't say they only saved enough money for her to come. But her father had her grandfather, great-great-grandfather, somebody in her family had been out here for the battle of at the Bloody Angle.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was so important for her to be there.
Yep.
And it's just those kind of things. Or you see situations. Was out in Arizona at a military base a few years ago, and prominent in their library was what Stonewall Jackson did at Chancellorsville, the flank march.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you see it all over.
And you know, we have stories that, you know, every Civil War buff has heard about Stonewall Jackson and Chancellorsville. You know, so we have these big, grand, sweeping stories. But then we also have these very personal stories about, you know, my great-great-great-grandfather in this unit at this spot, you know. And
so
those are wonderful canvases to work on as you're doing storytelling and connecting people to these stories, you know. And you need the land to do it.
I mean, this is just stories about people. Yeah. I mean, just the Fredericksburg area, the, you know, Battle of Fredericksburg, there was a mass exodus of civilians. And it wasn't until the 1940s until that same amount of people again inhabited Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
From the 1860s to the 1940s was how long it took for the people to come back. Yeah. So it's a lot of civilian stories involved with this too, not just military stories.
And, you know, one of the things that, you know, kind of going back to what Tom said a few minutes ago about, you know, stretches of silence that we have. But there's always some talking going on in the background. And one of the things that's really important to us, and this I think really ties to our local identity, is that we only work with willing sellers. So there's a lot of relationship building that happens. So, you know, those aren't public conversations. That's us trying to help people understand that we want to be good stewards of their property and their historical resources, and help them understand the historical resources that they have. And so that just requires Terry and Tom to do lots of shaking hands and kissing babies and having great conversations.
Yeah, we have a win-win philosophy. The end result needs to be, I mean, not everybody needs to get what they need, but everybody gets what they want, but they get what they need.
So yeah,
we have a win-win philosophy. We're non-confrontational. That's why sometimes it takes quite a while. All right, if you're not ready yet, then we'll keep talking to you, and when you're ready, we'll get down to it. So that's the way it works.
And so you can't talk about some of that stuff too soon, because if things do fall through, someone's got pie on their face, and
right.
You know, you don't want anybody to be embarrassed about things falling through. So it just takes a lot of work.
And I'm sure you're always looking, besides what you're negotiating with, and you're also looking at other pieces of land that you know, is on a wish list.
Terry has a very long Excel spreadsheet wish list.
Probably 2.5 pages long and in like 8-point type.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are plenty of opportunities.
And landscape oriented, not portrait.
And the funny thing is, you know, you can do all that planning, but then somebody just calls out of the blue and like, hey, I'm kind of interested in talking to you guys about this. So we have to be an organization of opportunity, because as someone comes knocking on the door, we need to be able to respond. And that's, again, why it's so important for us to have community support, so that we can leverage those sorts of resources quickly if someone shows up out of the blue ready to deal. You know, we've got to be able to respond and be ready to deal as well.
And I guess, Terry, there are instances where someone does want to preserve the land to be able to make it available for people to see.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, a couple of things that are in various stages of progress right now, that's exactly how they happened. You know, one of them, you know, someone contacted a board member directly. Another one, you know, someone called me at the office and wasn't even sure if they were calling the right place and the right people. And it's like, yes, we are. And, you know, both those are in ongoing conversations, and you know, we're very hopeful.
Yeah. Well,
there are some properties, or a lot of properties, we wish we could have, because we are restitching, we are rebuilding battlefields, one lot at a time, basically.
Yeah.
Like out in Chancellorsville, we're trying to. I went on record years ago. I don't know why I said it, but now I'm sticking behind it. That at some point, I want to be able to walk a large section of the Jackson flank attack uninterrupted.
Yeah.
We've been stitching that together. So we may have a property somewhere else we're really honing in on, and all of a sudden somebody will call up and say, hey. And we're like, well, that one we need, this one we want. And then we have to vet it and figure it out, because in most cases, you know, there's not a bottomless bucket of money. We need to vet things and put them in the order of importance, and sometimes you get an embarrassment of riches. A phone's ringing off the wall, and all right, we've got all these properties. Now what do we do?
Yeah. Good stuff. CVBT.org, the website, CVBT.org. Also, there's a great Facebook page that will keep you updated on all the work of the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. We'll wrap it up when we come back, talk about the annual conference again and how you can be involved with that. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Germana Community College.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Tom Van Winkle, Terry Renzel, Chris Makowski here this morning representing the good work of the group. Tom, as far as Tom Van Winkle's the board president with the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, you guys have mentioned it. You're our group here. There are other groups that I guess you all work with and around, and you're all a lot of you doing a lot of the same work.
Yeah, Ted, the one that most people are familiar with is the ABT, American Battlefield Trust. It used to be the Civil War Trust. When they were the Civil War Trust and we were the Central Virginia Battlefield Trust, it got kind of murky.
Yeah.
There was a lot of trust.
There was a lot of trust. Yeah, there's quite a bit of trust there. And a lot of people would say, well, I belong to your organization. I'd say, no, you don't. And then it turned out they belong. Well, now they're American Battlefield Trust, which helped us immensely. But the difference is the American Battlefield Trust is a national organization. They handle, you know, Civil War, Revolutionary War, battlefields all across the country. Wherever they happen, they handle it. We are a regional organization. We handle the four battlefields here specifically. And but that's not to say we don't work with the American Battlefield. We just concluded assisting them purchasing a large amount of acreage over in the wilderness. And we had a fundraising campaign, very successful, that helped them out with a portion of that. In the past, we've worked together on day one battlefield. We put $250,000 to the day one battlefield. We put $1 million to Slaughter Pen Farm. So we do work together when we have properties that are to our, you know, both we're looking for. So I've always said that it doesn't matter who gets the credit, just as long as we save the land.
Right.
And we work very symbiotically like that in many things.
October 8th through the 10th, the annual conference. Go to cvbt.org to sign up for it. And like you guys had said a little bit earlier, you'll see some battlefields. You'll hear some you'll really hear some outstanding historians.
So we have a keynote speaker coming on Sunday morning, Will Green, who used to be a historian here at Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Legion Park.
Yep.
And he went on to really found Pamplin Historical Park down in Petersburg, mm-hmm. where the Federal Army broke through in April of 1865. He has since retired and back in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he's coming here as someone who is familiar with this organization. But he's also been a central figure in the preservation movement. So when a precursor of the American Battlefield Trust in one of its earlier iterations started up, Will was hired as their first executive director. So he's been a leading figure in the preservation movement for decades. So to have him come back and talk a bit about his experience and talk a little bit about our history, it's going to be a lot of fun to listen to Will.
25 years, Terry, is a long time. And as you guys all talk, the best is yet to come.
You know, Ted, you teed that one up for me. When I came here a little over 2 years ago and interviewed for this position, had lunch with Tom and a couple of other members of the board, and I asked the question, what's our most important save? What's your favorite, you know, piece of land? And one of the individuals said Willis Hill because it was the first. Another one said Slaughter Pen because it was the largest. And Tom's answer to that question was the next save, the next piece of land.
Great answer.
And that was the moment that I knew this is a guy I wanted to come work for.
CVBT.org, the website for Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. We'll get together again before the October 8th through the 10th conference and just talk about 25 years, because there's a lot of history there, and we'll do that in the next 6 weeks or so.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Great Absolutely. To have you guys here. Thanks for what you do.
Thanks for having us, Ted. Yeah,
thanks so much.
CVBT.org, great organization, Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.